Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. Today we have Stephanie Fang and Wilson Liang. They have got some really cool properties in the Texas Hill Country that actually, if you subscribe, we are going to post a video of one of their properties on YouTube here probably next week. So be sure to check that out. But anyway, we're going to hear all about them and their investment journey today. So how's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's going well. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. So do you guys want to start by just telling us a little bit about yourselves and what you do, what made you get into investing in short-term rentals?
Yeah, I can start off. So hi, everyone. My name is Wilson. So by day, I am a healthcare worker. So I'm a PA. So still working the W-2. And I think it's funny, like Steph is really the real estate powerhouse. In the beginning, I was really like a stocks guy. I'm like, I don't want to touch real estate. You know, tenants scare me. And when we looked at our journey, I was like, I had this big plan mapped out. I'm like, look, if we just do stocks and saving, we can get to our goals in like 15, 20 years. I was like, I'm so proud of it. I looked at her and she was like, that's too slow. So we had to learn about something. I was like, okay, well that didn't work out, you know? So then we started looking into other investments like real estate. We've done a lot in real estate, long-term syndications, real estate funds. But ultimately it's really short-term rentals that really stood out to us. And I'll let you talk a little bit more.
Yeah. So my name's Stephanie. By day, I'm a nurse practitioner. I take care of cancer patients.
And
And definitely going off what Wilson was saying, my parents had always been a little bit involved in real estate and kind of had a little bit of exposure. So I wanted that like tangible asset where you can really like control what it is that you are, you know, investing in. And we really landed in short-term rentals for multiple reasons. I think part of it was, of course, I mean, the lucrativeness of the cash flow. Second thing was just I really, really enjoy like design and really enjoy making that experience for people. And I mean, it's also really great because, you know, we're able to use it ourselves. We're able to like have our family come by, friends come by. So it's kind of some of the reasons why we went to short-term rentals in the first place.
So since you guys are high income earners, was the appeal of the short-term rental tax loophole part of the reason that you decided to go with short-term rentals instead of, I don't know, maybe multifamily?
Yeah, I would say, I think the first thing is like we were super into like, you know, LTR. So then we bought like a duplex and we're like, wow, this is amazing. It's like, and then we ran the numbers. We're like, it's like $500 a month. We're like, we're gonna need like 20 of these. it's so hard to find one.
Yeah. So, and also like the moment that an HVAC goes out, it's like all your cash flow for the whole year was like gone.
Yeah. So that was one appeal, just like the higher cash flow when we ran the numbers. And then, you know, LTRs, you got to do reps. And then we're like, well, that's, we still like our jobs. We don't want to scale down that much. And then the STR loophole worked really well. So Stephanie was able to claim that. So that worked out. Yeah, the tax loophole is really, really clutch for W-2 workers.
Yeah. It was kind of, we kind of saw it as like a cherry on top though. I think we try not to have like the, what is that phrase? Like the tax tail.
Wag the dog or something.
Yes, something like that. But it's definitely a really great loophole to take advantage of.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of the greatest benefits of investing in short-term rentals, aside from the fact that it's just more fun to buy short-term rentals and vacation rentals than it is to buy long-term. So you guys have how many properties in your portfolio?
Right now, technically, we have 56 doors. Part of what that breaks down to is a duplex, two short-term rentals, a partnership for a 52-unit apartment complex, and then we're also GPs for a syndication.
Short-Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I want to hear about that. But first, I want to hear about the short term. So can you kind of divide up how many doors are which asset class, just so our listeners can kind of understand?
Yeah. So we have two doors that are long-term rentals. We actually had a couple more duplexes before, but we actually sold them in order to go into short-term rentals. We have two that are short-term rentals, 52 that are like a partnership for apartment complex.
Okay. So 52 doors worth of apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, awesome.
Partnership.
All right. And where are the two short-term rentals?
Yeah, they're located. So we really like to invest in like regional vacation markets. Mm-hmm. So our short-term rentals are located at a lake called Canyon Lake. It's in between Austin, Texas and San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, we had no idea about this. Like, our realtor in San Antonio told us about it. We're like, Canyon Lake. We're like, what is Canyon Lake? But one thing led to another, looked at the numbers. We're like, this is a really nice market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the whole Texas Hill Country market. A, because I went to UT and I just love people. I'm sure people are tired of hearing me talk about that on the show. I do love the whole Texas Hill Country. But the reason I love it just from an investment standpoint is there's still so many high income earners moving into Texas because it's a no state income tax state. And most of those people that are coming from California and New York are choosing Austin and then now San Antonio because San Antonio is just right down I-35 and it's significantly cheaper than Austin, mm-hmm. but it's still close enough to Austin to be able to get to Austin and do business and stuff. So the Texas Hill Country has historically been a weekend vacation for mm-hmm. Austin and San Antonio people. But I think as more and more people exit those high state income states into Texas, and specifically Austin and San Antonio, that I think Austin and San Antonio are eventually going to be just one big metroplex. So the more that that metroplex continues to grow, the more feeder market it is for the Texas Hill Country. So I think the tourism to the Hill Country is only going to continue to go up as those two cities continue to grow. So it's one of my favorite places there. I wouldn't call it up and coming. I would call it an established market. But in terms of looking at future growth, it is one of my favorite markets too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely really great because even outside of Austin and San Antonio, we get a lot of people who come from like Houston, Dallas, because it's all technically in that drivable location.
And we got New Yorkers and people in San Francisco. We're like, you're coming from where? So we're like, okay, we'll take it, you know?
Yeah. People don't realize that it's there and it's a really beautiful part of the country. So let's talk about the deals that you bought. So let's talk about your first short-term rental deal. So you guys are in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So you chose the Texas Hill Country because you'd been investing in San Antonio for long terms and your agent kind of told you about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about, we've discussed how you found it and why you decided to do short-term rentals. Let's talk about your first deal. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, first deal, it was actually, so both of our deals were like on the MLS. So I think Stephanie will talk about the first one, but I think we were, it's funny, we actually, when we first learned, like many of the people listening, like we learned about short-term rentals also through you, sort of like any method, right? Learning these things. And it's always like late at night when you're like not trying to find a deal, when a deal right. pops up middle of the night.
So or in the middle of work.
Middle of work, right? So this first one, we were just scrolling through. On Redfin, we're on Redfin. So I saw like, we have insomnia because of Redfin. Just try to install it at night. And we're scrolling and I think you... After, because we've gone through a lot of deals and then they didn't look, the numbers didn't work out, the location mm-hmm. wasn't great, HOA, things like that. But this one popped up and mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing which you're going to talk about is they had that cool bus on there. Like the house had a lot of character already. Mm-hmm. And then they had this separate Greyhound converted bus that was, we're like, is that part of the house? And we saw that, we're like, okay, well, we're looking for something that cash flows well. There's a lot of space mm-hmm. and there's a unique feature about it. And Stephanie found it. She was like, yeah, this one. So we texted our agent and you want to talk a little bit more about the property.
I think the big thing that Wilson had mentioned here is that, you know, we had been looking for quite some time. So we knew like what our parameters were. We knew what size house we were looking for. We knew that we wanted at least like 4 to 5 bedrooms. And like the pictures on the MLS were like horrible. But
oh, that's my favorite. That is my favorite.
Exactly. It was amazing because it's like, you know, as long as you're able to look past the furniture, you're like, wow, like the bones of this house is like really great. And then one of the bonuses was that the prior owner, they had converted this Greyhound bus, and this was like their COVID project. So they were already renting it out as a short-term rental. So it was like, oh, this is like a great amenity that people would probably be like, this is really cool. Cause we were just like, man, this is awesome.
You want to talk about how big the size of the house and the lot?
Yeah. So, I think one of the things about Texas is that like, of course, the lots tend to be pretty big, which was like, you know, awesome coming from California. So the size of the house was 2,400 square foot. It was a 4-bedroom and then with the added bus as well, which had a whole separate living space. And then the lot was 1.5 acres. But we actually were able to negotiate adding on the lot next door, which is 0.5 acres as well, which I mean, as many of you guys may or may not know, it's really, really difficult to like finance land. So we were actually able to negotiate to finance the land into the loan for the whole house as well, which was great.
Yeah, that is great. So I'm cheating on my questions here because I've been in this house, but how much of a role did the view that this house have play in you guys buying it?
That was definitely a huge component we were looking for. So we knew that we were looking for like a big property to fit a lot of people. And two of the parameters that I have is like having a really, really great view and also having a really good gathering space. I don't know how many people have like stayed at Airbnb when you're like, you have like 10 to 16 people and then like, it's like divided into different spots or like there's so many different rooms, you can't really gather together. So this house like had a wonderful gathering space, and at that gathering space, there's just like floor to ceiling windows, which was like, oh my gosh, we were sold.
Yeah. We're saying that because our agent, you know, we sent it, he was like, okay, it's interesting. And then he walks in and he like, cause you were there, you walk into the living and you look out, you're like, oh,
this is better than
this is pretty good. And he's like, never mind, like there's potential, guys. And we went there, we looked and we're like, oh, well, that view is something else. It's those hill country views. And for us, I think that's an absolute, it's like it makes or break a property, especially in these vacation rental markets. Because if people are hanging out, if they want to be inside the house, especially when it's hot, having a great view, it makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah. And so what year was this house built? Do you know offhand?
It was like 1980.
Okay, 1980. So I noticed when I was in there, the tongue and groove ceiling is really beautiful, but it wasn't your typical tongue and groove ceiling with the I don't know what it's called architecturally, like the eaves, I guess. They were stained really dark, which is really cool. And also I noticed the really, really skinny, why can I not find my words? The really, really skinny floor planks, wood floors, they're really cool. So I wanted to know how much of the original stuff did you keep, like the original touches like that, versus how much new stuff you moved in? What was the mix of that, of rehabbing versus preserving?
Yeah. I mean, I love that you mentioned that because this house was actually like a custom build. So essentially like a family, they had bought this whole street and then they custom built this house for their mom. So it was interesting because they were like contractors who like, they just like took stuff from random places. And actually you mentioned the ceiling. So the ceiling, those were like railroad tracks from somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. Like the big wooden planks. So they took those and then like made it into the ceiling. They took like the stained glass window from a church. So we kept a lot of the basis of like what made this home have a lot of character. And then we like upgraded a lot of like, basically like just like painting and like safety things.
Yeah, it was a lot of it was just paint and furnishing because we wanted to preserve as much of the original thing as possible. Yeah, we changed the roof. It's like, dang it, always, right? When you buy the land, you're like, oh my gosh.
I guess. Roof, I
mean, it wasn't a heavy like gut job. I mean, they did a good job taking care of the property. So it was actually just paint and then just redoing the furniture.
Okay, because when I walked in, I was like, man, they must have done some serious rehab on this, but that's awesome that you didn't have to. So you've got that beautiful view, and then you've got the converted Greyhound outside. So let's talk about the numbers on this property really quick. So what did you pay for it versus what does it gross annually?
So we paid $760,000 for the property and the land next to it. And then it grossed last year, it grossed $168,000.
Oh, those are great numbers.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to do a whole lot of rehab. That's really great. You know, people love to preach that those kind of deals don't exist anymore, but here you are with a beautiful view and you didn't have to do a ton of rehab. That's amazing. Congratulations on that deal, Scott.
Thank you. Yes. Off the MLS too. Right. Yeah. So it was just, when we first started learning, we're like, oh, I think this works out. And then now that we reflect back, we're like, oh, that was actually, we did a really good job with this one. So thank you.
You really did. Yeah, you really did. Do you happen to know the breakdown of how much the bus by itself makes?
So we never really rented it separately.
Oh, you rent it together. Okay.
We tried doing that, and then we realized like there's enough separation where like you kind of can be, you know, like if we've rented at the same time, but then we realized people just want the whole, like, I think the other thing that's really attractive about that location is like the privacy.
Oh yeah.
So then we listed it as like the bus, the house, and then the bus and the house, and then the bus and the house kept getting booked together.
Oh,
so okay. We're like, we can just charge a higher premium for that. But okay. But for the bus itself, I think it probably helps us generate, like, because we add on probably a couple, like maybe $30,000-$40,000 extra per year, just because we upcharge for the experience for the bus
and the fifth bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, that's perfect, especially for like teenagers. If families are traveling with teenagers, like they'll want to go out in the bus and get away from their parents and watch TV all night. So it's a really, really cool property.
Oh, I love that, where it's like, oh, the kids didn't go there. Or if you want to get away from the kids, you can go in the bus too. We find that the adults were like, leave the kids in the house with somebody. And they're like, the adults, I'm like, here's your romantic getaway. You guys can get away in the bus.
Like what you're hearing, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, you can join me on a live weekly call to talk about your next short-term rental or ask questions about the one you already have. I am live once per week on Zoom. I would love to have you come and say hello. It's strquestions.com. That's strquestions.com. Come and join us. Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world famous Management Monday session, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short Term Shop Plus.
I love it. So let's talk about your second property. It's also in Canyon Lake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We basically saw that this one's what's working. So we're like, okay, we have the systems here. Let's just expand here as well.
Yeah, it really does make it easier. Some people like to have one property in a bunch of different places that they like to vacation, which is totally fine. Nothing wrong with that. But being able to just add a property to the system you already have is so easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was the time between when you got your first one up and running and bought your second one?
About a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And that first one, I mean, it was a pretty heavy list, because when we bought it towards what was it? Oh no, the first for Deepwell.
Oh, Deepwell, we closed August 1st, 2022.
Yeah. So for us to do the reps, we like flew out there and like for a month we just like built everything, and you know, you went through it and we're like, this is so tiring. And then from all the lessons learned and all the systems we set up, that second one, we're like, okay, we're to hire help. We don't need since we have two properties, we can meet the material participation a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And that second property was it's a block. I mean, Texas blocks are really big, so it's like not as that close, but it's a one minute drive across, also very similar characteristics, same square similar square footage. Mm-hmm. And it had a pool. So we're like, if we don't buy it, like someone else will. So then that one came the year after. And setting that up was a lot faster, just because we knew what to do from the first time.
Yeah. And we also learned a lot from the first one in terms of negotiation. So that was
okay. And what'd you pay for that one?
So we ended up paying $700,000, but it was actually originally listed for $800,000.
Oh, so you got a deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, going off of like, I don't know if you heard Wilson mention this earlier, but so for the first property, we ended up like changing the roof. We ended up having like
plumbing issues.
Like a month after closing, we paid like $8,000 for a plumbing issue. So with this home, we were like, okay, we're going to be super diligent with our inspection. We're going to like do everything and like make sure that like if we basically we find out everything that's wrong with this house and see if we can negotiate the price down. So that's exactly what we did. Like we got a pool inspection, we got a roof inspection, we got sewer. A septic and sewer inspection.
Things we didn't know before. We're like, oh, I'll be fine. Like they'd tell us, right? No, you got to do it yourself. And you negotiated pretty heavily. I'm pretty proud. On our wedding day, she closed on our wedding day. So on the phone, on the day of the wedding, she's like, I got it for $50K less. And then she closed on that day.
We're like,
oh my gosh.
We were like taking pictures. I'd be like negotiating. I'd be like, go take pictures of Wilson.
That is hilarious. She's dedicated. Mm-hmm. So the wedding day property, how much do you think that one makes annually?
So that one's actually projected to make about 200K.
Which is like, it's the pool. We didn't realize. I'm like, why is this one doing so much better? It's like, well, like there's a lake. Why do people want to go to the pool? People still want a pool. Yeah. Yeah, so that one is doing better. I think it's projected 200 this year. So like, that's amazing. That's like really, really good too for this area.
And right off the MLS also.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So 800,000 purchase price for 200,000 annual income. Guys, there are still deals out there. And also you guys bought at the height of everything. And everybody likes to act like the naysayers like to say that, oh, everybody who bought in 2022, was losing their ass, but not y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually has an 8% interest rate.
Yeah. So everyone's like telling us, don't do it. It's 8%. We're like, but if you just,
but the numbers work,
the cash flow brute force through it. Right. And then like we can refi. I mean, we're refining like now. So we're actually in the process of refining now, right? Back down to like seven. So it's like, with short-term rentals, you have a lot of leeway with if it's not the cash flow that break you through, it's the tax benefits that carry you. And then when the interest rates drop, you really benefit.
And this won't air for a few weeks, but we're having this conversation on the day of what we predict to be the Fed doing the first rate drop. So all very exciting. But man, you guys are crushing it. You bought at the height of prices, at the height of interest rate, and you're still crushing it. I love this story because I only ever hear, people don't come to you and say, listen to my amazing story. They come and say, what's happening? Why am I not renting? So I never get to hear, or I do get to hear, but not as often, the great story. So this is very inspirational. You're making me want to go buy a house.
That's awesome. Oh, I mean, it's like that's kind of our thought too. Like I was actually talking to someone yesterday, and they're like, "Yeah, what do you think about the rates?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm still gonna go buy a house."
If the numbers work, and like our contingency for these places are always like, "Well, if it doesn't work out, we just move in because it's like a great property." Obviously, like that's Plan D. But like I think that's the nicest part. It's like you were saying, the probably the most fun investment we do, because like what's most rewarding is just being able to go there and visit and to enjoy, like you work so hard on it and you can enjoy it and other people can enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So are you guys planning to buy another one in Canyon Lake? Are you actively shopping? Are you looking at other markets? What's the plan?
Right now. So, I mean, kind of going off what you were saying about like some people just buying in different places, we're actually trying to find like a different market where, maybe we could expand or where we can also visit as well.
Yeah. It's funny, but we still got alerts set up for Canyon Lake. So you know how it is when you're not working, when you're trying to expand, like the perfect property will pop up, but we're looking in different markets, but like you said, Hill Country is a great market. Yeah. So then since we have systems set up, if a property comes up, we'll run the numbers and we'll be at a team meeting again and figure out.
We do have these team meetings about some Canyon Lake property or like Hill Country property probably like weekly.
Yeah. Cause things come up and we're like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Or people will send us properties and then we'll be like, yeah, no, we saw that already.
Yeah. And we did the same thing this past year. We were like, we're going to buy something in a ski market or somewhere that we want to go. We're going to do it, you know, a lifestyle asset. It's not going to be about cash flow. We're finally going to get something just for us. And we looked all these places and nothing made sense. We made a few offers, nothing worked out. And then here we are, we're buying something in the Smokies. So boring, so boring. And then of course, the deal that would have been the perfect one to buy, which is next door to one of our other ones and was a great price and already fixed up, we didn't notice it till it was under contract. Like we weren't looking. And then we said, okay, you know what? Let's just look again in the Smokies. We know what we're doing there. And I was like, oh man, this pending one is great. And as one of our clients is getting it. And I'm like, yeah, we should have seen, I wish we would have seen that, but we weren't looking, but they're getting a great property. So I'm excited for them. But it always works out like that. When you're not looking is when the great deals happen. And now Luke, when we're looking at other deals, which I think we'll probably go under contract today, he's like, but that other one was this. And I'm like, but that one is not available. Stop comparing everything to that. It's not available. So I hear that. The good deals always pop up when you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
But at least that one is like, you know, you guys can do whatever you want to it and make it like your own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not as good of a deal as the other one.
Yeah. Yep. Like the numbers aren't as great. It'll take a little bit more time to pay back.
Yeah. So anyway, but we'll get something locked up here. All right. Well, guys, so what is there anything that we haven't talked about maybe that you've learned on your journey that you feel like our listeners could benefit from hearing?
Well, that's a great question. I think for me, the biggest thing is I used to have like a really big limiting belief that like you couldn't do out of state, especially like, you know, Airbnb, vacation rentals. It's a hospitality business. And I was like, there's no way. We're in California. We have pretty high, you know, like busy W-2s. So yeah. We're just sitting around, right? And it's but I think we had other mentors we looked up to who were doing it. And you guys, right? And also like you have systems, like if you have systems in place, if the numbers work out from the beginning, like it's possible. I think so for us, you know, we're out of state. We visit our properties every now and then, mainly actually now it's to enjoy. And I think you spend how many hours a week now?
I mean, I would say on average, well, right now we're doing renovations, so I'm spending more time. But I would say on average, I spend like an hour and a half to 2 hours a week.
Yeah, when people say that, it's like online, it's like, oh, that's not true. Like they probably spend, you know, they're just, it's all fake. But really you know, especially it's a weekend market for Canyon Lake. So it's like, it's a little busier when leading up to like the weekend, but for the most part, it's pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. So our occupancy is 50-60%, depending on like the season it's in. But because of that, we're able to balance our jobs, still give a good experience for our guests. It's a good investment on the side. And I think more importantly, the cash flow is enough for Stephanie to reduce
some of her
W-2 hours, which didn't expect. I remember with LTRs, it would have taken like 20 of them. For this one, it's like, oh, with the first one, yeah, like you could reduce your hours. And this with the second one, it's like, if we choose to, we could reduce further. So that was amazing. So I guess the biggest takeaway is like, if you have the systems, if the property is right, you'll have a much, it'll have a big impact, right, on your finances, on your life pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's possible to do things out of state.
Yeah. And I wanted to kind of build off of what Wilson was saying. So of course, like being able to manage it out of state, I think that's a huge thing. But also he had mentioned like, we were only able to do this because of the mentors that we have. So of course, like I actually have your book, like I have your book. I've, you know, learned a lot from you guys, learned a lot from other mentors who were also managing out of state too. And I'm like, you know, I feel like a lot of times people get kind of stuck in like, trying to analyze all these things or like, you know, is this the correct market and whatnot? But really having those mentors say that like, hey, this looks like a good property, or like, I think that you guys got it handled, or like, hey, these are the systems and the mistakes that I made. Like, we learned a lot from them and we built a lot of confidence to actually take that step.
Yeah. And I would say having an agent that is very familiar with vacation rental markets, and also your amazing team.
Yes.
Our cleaner. Oh, she's because of our two properties, our cleaner, I even like calling her cleaner. She's our friend, right? Yeah. Where it's, she quit her full-time job to like take care of our properties.
Oh, wow.
Which is like amazing. Yeah. So she just cleans for us full-time and that's enough to cover. And, we know a lot of the community now, just because when things happen, we're like, we're not there, but like help, boots on the ground. And that gives us probably the most peace of mind, just having a great team out of state. Mm-hmm.
One thing that you said that I want you to repeat is that you have 50 to 60% occupancy rate, but you've got one property doing like 170,000 and one property doing 200,000 a year. So what I hear there is for new investors is to not be afraid of seasonality. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure you understand what your season is when you buy a property. I can't tell you, every single November in our Facebook groups, we have people who bought in like beach markets going, oh my God, I was renting so well and now I have no bookings. What's going on? And we're like, it's the off season. It's November at the beach. And then they're like, act like they've never heard of that before. But then, you know, there's of course a bunch of people commenting under it like, see, I told you not to buy and such and such. And it's like, no guys, this happened every November since the beginning of time. So I think that you know, your story is very valuable too, because even though it's not a beach market, to understand your season, and just because you have a 50, 60% occupancy rate does not mean that that gross annual income isn't huge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's great from you. Cause like when we first calculated, we're like, what's the cash on cash these things? But then like with vacation rental markets, you look at total revenue, and that's the main thing you go off of. Cause you like, 50%, 60% occupancy at what we're grossing. It's true. Like right now it's slower season. So it's like, you could argue, oh, it's not doing well. We're like, time to do rehab, you know, it's not as booked. And then cause summer came and the house got like, it's like 80, 90% occupancy. We're like, we couldn't even, it was booked out so fast, we couldn't even get people in to like fix things in between. So,
I have to like tell the next guest, I was like, my handyman can't make it out. And this curtain fell down. Here are some eye covers.
But, you know, you're right, where it's, seasonality, it used to worry me. And then when you actually look at the numbers, it's like in the hot months, you make back enough revenue to cover like most of the year. So just understanding those numbers and being like, just, you have to know the numbers. So I love that comment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really, really important point to pull out of y'all's story too. Well, guys, it's been really awesome. Before we close out, we have three questions that we ask everyone that comes on the show. And the first question is, what advice would you have for 20-year-old Stephanie and Wilson?
I would say that the advice that I have is probably just trusting yourself. Basically trusting that you're resourceful. I think that one of the things I've always said is that real estate is forgiving. So to some degree, real estate's forgiving. And like, you know, as long as you just take that first step and, you know, you make a good decision as best as you can, just trusting that you could be resourceful and like figuring out as you go along.
Yeah. So that's a big one. Yeah. I love that. It's a tough question. It's a really good first question. I think 20-year-old me, I think if we look back and look to where we are now, I would never think like we'd be doing what we're doing now. Uh-huh. I think the biggest thing is just like kind of building off like, you know, dream big and like truly dream big, and then find people who are doing like what your dreams are, and like get in similar rooms with them. And you'd be surprised how fast you'll be able to go. Like we learn so quickly, and we set up systems because there are people ahead of us, right? You know, you get to stand on the shoulders of giants, right? So for us, it was just like find a good mentor, dream big, and then the rest will follow.
Great advice. Next question, kind of similar. What advice do you have for a new investor who's getting started today? They'll already be in a better position than you interest rate wise. So what advice do you have for them?
My advice would be to find a mentor that's really find a mentor that is in a similar situation as you and has a similar goal to where you want to go. I think that, you know, we've mentioned during this podcast that mentors have been so important in our journey. And really, like, you know, we were looking for like, okay, we want to find a mentor who is working full-time job, who has done this with short-term rentals, and like they're crushing it. And like, I was like, how can we learn from them? So, just really find a mentor who really fits your, you know, character as well.
Yeah. And for me, I'll say like, if it's, you probably say this too, where it's like the learning doesn't start until you're in contracts for the first one, right? Like you can read all you want. You can like talk in forums all you want, but like everything doesn't apply until you're in contract and you're like, oh shoot, this is real. And then make sure you work with an agent that understands like contingencies, and also like, no, like you're in contract, but it doesn't mean like you've signed the deal, right? It's like, no, you have due diligence, and just work with someone who understands that. And you, I think during that period, it's like, it's always, you know, for us, for short-term rentals, even for long-term rentals too, it's like that first deal you get into, usually it's not the first one you were in contract for, right? It's actually, you have to go through a lot of like deals that didn't go well, but you backed out, and then you do that over time. And then when the right property comes, you know, and it's going to run so smoothly. So it's just like, you just have to get in, put in the offer, and then the learning starts there.
Totally agree with that. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset? We had somebody say Harry Potter one time, so you know, it doesn't matter. Business book.
I would say I always like default back to this. I'm a big proponent of like just like small incremental steps. Mm. So for me, Atomic Habits was a really impactful book for me. I think one of the examples that he talks about is like, you know, when you think about an ice cube melting, you're just like, oh, okay, like from 0 to 32 degrees Fahrenheit, you don't really see anything. And it's really at that 32 degrees Fahrenheit where you start to see that ice melt. And that's like visually what you see externally. But then every degree leading up to that, it's like there are changes structurally and like things that are happening that allow that ice cube to melt. So I kind of feel the same way about like life and like with real estate investing too, where it's like, we're doing all these micro changes, we're making all these mistakes, and we're learning from them. And then it's really like people only see like, okay, when you get that deal and when it's great and stuff, but like people don't see all the work that you put in behind and all the mistakes that you're learning from too. So just making those incremental changes and growing from that.
Love that. Yeah, I think my book would be A 4-Hour Work Week. So that book really changed my mind, especially like we're healthcare workers. So we're like, that's impossible. But then like, well, outside of, if you have your own business and you're doing things like this, just having systems in place and, you know, less like, yeah, having a really good team and systems in place, it's amazing how much you can do in a short amount of time. Like if you, so I think for this one, it's like kind of works out pretty beautifully. Like for short-term rentals, like, can you run it less than 4 hours a week? Yeah, you actually can. So that book changed my mindset about like, you know, you don't need to do like 40 hours to run anything. You can, if you're efficient, if you have good systems in place, if you have good team members, a couple hours a week is all you need and you can run a whole empire.
Yeah. That's a great one. I always forget about that one. That was probably one of the first business books that I read before even Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And before I even got into real estate investing, I just knew I hated my job. And I said, read that book. But yeah, that's a good one. That is a great one. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on. If our listeners want to follow you or find out more about you, how can they do that?
Instagram's probably the best.
Yeah.
My handle is Steph_estate.
And then mine's is Wilson_invest.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. And I definitely want to get back out to the Hill Country and video your other property too. So maybe we'll set that up. I need an excuse to go out there anyway, but thank you guys so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, we're so excited to be here.
Yeah.